Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. In this passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus gives us the true condition of man. He shows us what's involved. Notice he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light must come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." What's happening in our world today? What's happening in our world? We see people who crime, there's robbery, there's murder, there's raping going on in our world. But notice verse 20. In light of what's going on in our world, Jesus says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, or make known, that they are wrought in God." People in the world don't care about God. They war against each other. They have war. We have the fear of nuclear destruction today. We see the breakup in the family unit today. But why is modern man having such a problem with life? Why? What's the true condition of man? What is it? What do we have in an illustration? Number one, we have an illustration. In verse 14 of this chapter, it says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," he said, "even so the Son of Man will have to be lifted up." How would Jesus be lifted up? He'd be lifted up on a cross, wouldn't he? He'd be lifted up suspended between heaven and earth to die for the sins of mankind. We see that in our lives that people who come to the cross and come to submissiveness to the cross recognize they need Jesus. They need this. They need Jesus as he was lifted up. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we see the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." He says, things which are written in the Old Testament was written that we might learn them, that we can appreciate what's in the New Testament. We have an Old Testament example of, in Numbers chapter 21, you'll turn to me that passage. Numbers chapter 21, here's a case in which the children of Israel were complaining. Beginning with verse 4. It said, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this like bread. And the Lord sent the fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." Why? Because they complained. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made the serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass, and if a serpent had bitten any man, he that beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Looked upon that serpent and he lived." Just as Jesus was offered up on a cross, He was put in a tomb. He rose from the dead that we might have life. You know, sin produces death. Sin produces separation from God. When we sin, we are inviting separation between us and God. Look at Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul made the conclusion in that chapter when he says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Sin produces separation from God. Sin produces separation, and we do not need that. We do not. One individual should not want that, because modern man who's living in the world is dead. He's dead. He's dead in his sinfulness because he's missing life. His true condition is that of being dead. He's walking around dead spiritually. Look at what Paul would teach us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We see that Paul talked about this aspect of being, of missing life. Begin with verse 1. He said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." These people were. He said, "But when time past you walked or abided according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's the devil, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation or manner of life in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Paul says, you have chosen a better way. You've chosen the way in which to get out of sin. You were walked according to the course of this world. You were subject to the devil. Everything that you thought of was worldly in context. He says, but now you chose to have this life. You chose a life of faithfulness, a life of service to God. Man cannot sense a serpent bite. And that serpent bite spiritually in our lives, but will produce spiritual death. But you know, in our lives, just as Jesus was offered up on the cross, just as he was put in a tomb, and just as he was raised from the dead, he gave us life. That our true condition of our true condition can be one of past tense. You were in trespasses and sins, but now you are in life. Number two, in this passage of Scripture, we see a declaration is declared. It's the word condemnation. Let's go back to our text in John chapter 3, verse 19. Let's look at verse 19. Jesus says, "And this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world." He says the light. He is the light. "Men love darkness rather than light." And he says their deeds were evil. But Jesus is the light that came to light every man's soul. Jesus is the one that gets us out of condemnation. Like Paul said, those who once in condemnation, but now have had their sins forgiven. You know, sin, when it brings consequences to each and every individual's life. Sin will wreck people emotionally, mentally, physically, and any other way. Condemnation. Opposite of God. You look at in Peter's sermon, in Acts chapter 2, and look at verse 40. Peter finally finished his sermon, and he says, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." Peter says, save yourselves from the world. The world's not going to help you to go to heaven. The world's going to do the opposite. It's going to drive you away. It's going to drive you away from God. For an example, let's look at a prisoner that's on death row. That man knows that crime he's done has put him on death row, doesn't he? He knows he'll never get out of that situation. He senses immediate death or imminent death. But just as that man's on death row, there are people out here in the world today, folks, they're on sin's death row. That if they die today, being opposite of God, then they'd be lost. They'd be lost. Their true condition would be one of being lost. Number three, we see that there was an illustration in this passage. We see the declaration in this passage. Now let's look at the explanation of this passage. Let's go back to John 3 and verse 19. Jesus said that he says the explanation of this passage is that men love darkness in their lives rather than light. Because why did they love darkness? Jesus said because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are opposite of God. Why do people today choose a sinful life? Why do people choose sin? It's exciting. It's appealing. It's one of fulfilling in their lives, they think. They think that they can get this immediate rush. They can have this exciting rush that everything will be better in their lives. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we see that the writer in the chapter on faith, he talked about Moses. Now Moses could have participated in a life like this. Moses was second in command to the king of Pharaoh in Egypt. He could have had all kinds of things. He could have had all kinds of worldly goods, money, possessions, lands. But the writer says in verse 24 of that chapter in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, or when he got to the age in which he could decide what's right and what's wrong, he said, the Bible says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be next in line after the Pharaoh to rule Egypt. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose to try to deliver God's people from the oppression of bondage in Egypt than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, people today will criticize us for not wanting to participate in certain activities which they think that's all right. But we know that at the end of time, that if we do like Moses, we choose to serve God in this life, we choose to do what He wants us to do, then at the end of time, what's going to happen? We're going to get the best benefit, won't we? Be the best benefit. God's blessing is accepted by faith. We have to accept His blessing by faith through His Word. Sin's rewards can be felt and experienced right now. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount when He talked about people who love to go around and make prayers in the marketplaces and on the streets, and He loved to be had their deeds to be seen of men. Remember what He said? He said they have their reward. People who do that have their reward now. But you know, we're looking for a better reward. Book of Hebrews, the key word is better. We're looking for a better reward. We got a better high priest. We got a better law. We got the better sacrifice. But you know, sin is awful deceiving, folks. Our true condition can be deceiving to ourselves, but it's not deceiving before God. One who lives a life of sin is described as being in darkness. Darkness. One cannot anticipate light if that person's in darkness, because that person's not interested in light. In John chapter 12 and verse 35, we see Jesus is talking to the people. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while, is the light with you? Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You ever tried to get up in a room in the middle of the night and be dark? You know, the light switch would be on the other side of the room, and you're trying to go turn the light switch on, and you run into something, don't you? Well, that's the way spiritual life is. We cannot afford to be in darkness. If you're in darkness, you cannot be saved. If you're in light, you have the possibility of being saved, because Christ is the light. People think that they know how to come out of sinful choices apart from God and be all right. But you can't do it. We think of Cain. Think of the after Cain killed Abel. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 13. We see the Bible tells us both of the boys were out in the field. Then Cain killed Abel. And the Lord asked Cain what he had done. And verse 13 said, and Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Cain now realizes he killed a human life. He's killed his brother. But he said, now what I've done is more terrible in my mind than I could ever thought of when I did the act. Once the act is already done, you cannot undo that. But God wants people who are in sin today to get out of sin. Think of David's life. Think of David and the case of David and Bathsheba. David had Uriah killed on the front line of battle so he might be with Bathsheba. But the Lord talked to him through Nathan the prophet. And David realized he was a man whom Nathan was talking about. Then David penned Psalm 51. And he thought about his life. And upon verses 1 and 2, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, and according upon the multitude of the tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Because he acknowledged his sin before God. He acknowledged what he did. Think about the true condition of man. What's God's remedy for you and I today? For our true condition, His remedy is nothing more than an uplifted Savior. In John chapter 12, in verse 32, we see that Jesus said, if I be lifted from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Jesus will draw all men unto Him. Do you believe this truth? That Jesus would draw all men unto Him. If you never obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, He wants you to be obedient at this point. To be obedient to the gospel. Because in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we see that we have this commentary about Jesus. Though He was Son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. If you're willing to obey the Lord this day, then you can have your sins remitted. You must repent of your sins. You must confess the name of Christ before this assembly. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins, that your condition may be one of service of before God. Maybe you are a Christian, and your true condition before God is not one that God is pleased with. You can have your sins forgiven today by the blood of Christ. You need to come. We encourage you to do so while John leads us in an invitation song. Will you please stand?
A great day coming, a great day coming.